And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right, Nate, you were on the clock now. I feel like this fell pretty good for you, actually, all things considered, with you having the number two pick in your personal history.
But you keep saying that, and it's like, now I'm like scared. Am I like overthinking this? But I, with the number two pick, the Nate Tice, you know, quarterback selection group selects Dak Prescott.
Wow.
With the number two.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's why you kept saying that. And I'm like, are you sure you know who I'm going with here? Like, yeah.
I saw you tweeting Dak Prescott clips
I thought it was going to be at five.
Nope. I teased it.
I was ready to take him at three to jump.
Exactly.
You.
Thank you.
The only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys indeed?
All right, there it is. Nate Tice, the Athletic Football Show, with some Dak love. He'll be joining us a little bit later to go into further detail about that. I was producing the show last week and took us all by surprise when he got some Dak love out there on the air. I didn't know that over the past year working with him. And so, you know, let's give him the forum here. Let's give him the proper forum here on the About Them Cowboys podcast to talk about the Cowboys and do it proper justice. So Nate Tice, the Athletic Football Show, will be joining us a little bit later. But Cowboys Nation, it's been a crazy week in Cowboys Nation. And we got a lot to talk about, so we will do so with the best of the best when it comes to talking all things Dallas Cowboys here on the Athletic Podcast Network. Kent Garrison here running the show behind the scenes, and I'm going to welcome in the panel to run us through this. It's Kevin KT Turner, and from the Athletic, Father John, the show to boys. Welcome back, and John, I guess it's been kind of a crazy week in the rumor department, and it feels like a normal Cowboys offseason in terms of the rumors with the Julio thing. And you know, I guess it never fails on and off the field that the Cowboys will be in the news, but it seems like more often than not, it's stuff off the field when they make the news. KT, this was just a crazy, crazy week. You know, and it was all basically stuff off the field. So,
yeah, you know, just a stranger out on the town bumps into Julio Jones wearing a Cowboys sweatshirt, and before you know it, there's a national story that carried into Fox Sports 1 when Shannon Sport, or FS1 or whatever they call it, where Shannon Sharp called Julio Jones live on the air, and then Julio point blank told him it's nothing. He's not going to Dallas. But you don't see that every day. It was kind of a weird start. It's almost like these stories are stories that don't directly impact the team, but they are right. Still Cowboys headlines because they are one of the most entertaining brands that there is in the world.
It's just incredible. It's incredible how with star players, when they're on the trade block, whatever. I mean, going back, I don't know, 20 years, Dion, maybe before that. It's just like everybody is always linked to the Cowboys for some reason. You know, it's amazing.
I guess I'm going to go in a little bit different direction here, guys. As a sports fan, I mean, we all have gone to the mall or to the movies or maybe even a sporting event, and maybe you had, let's say, like a Milwaukee Bucks shirt on, or maybe even like the Colorado Rockies. There are certain teams in sports that you do not wear their gear unless you're a fan of that team because they're such a lightning rod. For example, I'm a Duke basketball fan. When you wear Duke stuff out, you get people that don't even know you that will say stuff. You're like, Duke sucks. Okay, cool, dude. Nobody says that if you're wearing a Colorado Rockies shirt. When you wear a Dallas Cowboys hoodie, and I'm just talking about everyday civilians, okay, you're going to get people that say stuff to you, especially, you know, just because it's one of those teams like the Lakers, like the Yankees, like Duke basketball, things like that. Like, and then when you're one of the top wide receivers in the NFL and you're wearing that, like, I don't buy in the whole, like, oh, this was an accident. Like, oh, I think no. You know what you're doing. It kind of goes back for me. I joke around about this with my brother all the time because it was, like, the most absurd excuse I've ever heard. But this isn't going to be on a lot of people's radar, but it's something that, like, I'll always remember. I don't know if it was the last game, but it was one of the last games Anthony Davis played in New Orleans, and he wore a shirt that said, like, a Looney Tunes, that's all, folks. And when he was asked about it, everybody knew he was leaving there, but when he was asked about it, his excuse was, I don't even dress myself. Like, someone just puts out the clothes and I wear them. It was just mind-blowing, you know? Like, you know exactly what you're doing. So when I saw that picture, I was just like, all right, he did that on purpose. And, you know, maybe he didn't think it would get blown up into, like, what it is. But still, it's like, and then here's the other thing. Like, he's never coming to the Cowboys anyway. Like, if there was one position that they don't need, it would probably be quarterback because they just made their quarterback the second highest paid player in the league's history and the highest paid in franchise history. But wide receiver would be next. They don't need any wide receivers. Right. So crazy.
It's amazing, though, how they, you know, this happened with Adrian Peterson, too. Earl Thomas, you know, it's like when you want out of a situation, you just kind of say, I want to be a Cowboy, you know, and it's like that seems to be the key word to get yourself traded or somewhere. And of course, it's just funny because Julio was linked to the Cowboys before the picture came out. People were talking about like, oh, Cowboys gonna make a move here for who? Jerry's going to pull something. No. And then the picture came out and it blew up into this huge, like, oh, this could really be a thing, you know, and it never was going to be a thing. And it's amazing that one picture can make people, I don't know, jump to conclusions so fast. It is innocent, but at the same time, John, it is on purpose. I'm kind of with both. I'm kind of both sides on it, KT.
Well, yeah, you know, like I have, I like a Milwaukee Brewers shirt. That's the team. John, obviously mentioned the Milwaukee Bucks. I always liked like retro brands and stuff, like with cool logos. I like
this wasn't a retro
stuff.
Hoodie. This wasn't
but this
like
was
a
boring. Yeah, this is.
This
boring.
Was like you a just, current like team issued thing. This wasn't like I love the '90s Cowboys. Here's my Emmitt Smith throwback, you know, or whatever it is. No, this was like, you know what? It reminded me of John and. And I don't know if Hula's even said where he got the hoodie or whatever, but I thought like he probably got it from one of these other receivers that he works out with. You know, all these guys are together in the offseason working out, you know, quarterbacks and off and on, Michael Johnson Performance Center, places like that. So there's a chance there's a Cowboys wide receiver walking around in an Atlanta Falcons hoodie somewhere and they, you know, do that kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, it just seems more innocent than I'm going to go buy a Cowboys hoodie and I'm going to put it on. I'm going to go to the mall and all this stuff. It just seems like more, I don't know. He's in town. He lives here. He likes these guys. He's a fan of the franchise and all that. And it's, he wants out, of course, but he never thought he was going to come to Dallas, John, like you said.
It was kind of strange though. Like, so that happens. I have a feeling that this irked John because John is a true journalist here. I have a feeling that John didn't like the Shannon Sharp phone call to Julio Jones, and I never watched that stupid show. You couldn't pay me money to watch that show, but you couldn't avoid the, you know, viral activity that phone call was getting. I'm sure, John, A, you hate the ethics of that, and B, kind of set up, right? That's definitely a setup. That's definitely Julio just doing this on purpose, right?
Yeah. I don't see how that was being done out of nowhere. Like, I'm sure that they discussed it beforehand or he would have never even taken that call. So for him to say at the end, you know, you're on air, I think it made it look like he was just being told that at the time. I don't believe that's what really happened. To me, the most enjoyable part was the way Skip Bayless was acting like a child. Hey, ask him this. Like in the background, stupid. like I was like, shut up. Like let him in. Wait, hey, ask him. He literally said, he goes, ask him about the shirt. Ask him about the Cowboys. Hey, ask him about the Cowboys. I was like, is this real TV? Like, what is this right here? But like as much as those shows can just be like a joke, like I don't think that Shannon Sharp would do that to a friend and just put them on the spot like that. I think he told Julio, hey, when we're on the show today, I'm going to call you, you know, just real quick, like just for a minute. I got to ask you about that shirt or whatever. And he's probably, yeah, okay, whatever. And he took the call when he was in the car or whatever, and that's it. But like, I don't think that he really did not tell him until the very end. If he did, and that is true, I mean, Heck, I mean, you could probably get sued for that. I mean, there's got to be lawsuits that you'd be able to file. But I mean, I don't think that Julio would be willing to go that far. But certainly the Falcons aren't happy about that, because they just that little phone conversation of about 30 seconds drove any bargaining that they had completely out the window. Because what team is going to trade for him now when they know that he's going to be on the block? Like, or I mean, a team could still trade for him, but like, what team's going to give up a lot for him now?
No, for sure. And that's the thing, though, is that whole thing was just so dumb. And you kind of look at the Cowboys' cap situation as well. I mean, that's another thing where you just go, yeah, there's no way they're doing anything like that. And it's Julio trying to get out of town. But, I don't know, there's something about it, like always, okay, well, what if they did something with Michael Gallup? That's the only realistic way, and it's not even realistic enough to even go down that path. But, again, the Cowboys are one of those uniforms. They're one of those logos. You wear it, kind of just generates headlines no matter what. Now, we go on the same kind of uniform tip. Jalen Smith in the news for stuff off the field. As he wants to go be number 9. I have so little interest in numbers. Like, I really don't care about that stuff. But this story is very interesting. Is there's like a whole Romo element to it as well. And then he has the comments, and he said he wanted to stay. He wanted to continue on Romo's legacy, even though he hadn't even, like, we don't even know that they had spoken. We just know that they like reached out, like he had tried to get a hold of Romo. So what do you think's going through Jalen's mind that he's trying to get rid of 54 this year now, when he could wait and it'd be free? He's got to pay to make this work as well. Like, there's a lot going on here with this than just changing uniforms. What's your thoughts on all this?
Go ahead, John.
Oh, I thought you were raising your hand because you had something profound.
Oh, no, it's never profound. Go ahead, John.
Okay. I personally don't care. I know that Jalen's a lightning rod for the fan base because of swiping celebrations in general, late in games that aren't particularly close, and just the overall lack of awareness that I think that he's kind of developed and the fan base is kind of annoyed by. And so I think that factors in. But being at, you know, the OTA practice on Tuesday, just being honest, with the visor on wearing that number 9, I kind of thought he looked like a badass. So would I pay $500,000 worth of inventory for that number? No. I don't know why he would do that either. I would just wait another year, but that's Jalen. Jalen is he's different than most people from that aspect. He's very aware of the marketing side of things. And so I know that I'm sure that there were conversations between him and his agent and other people around him. And I'm sure there were people around him that told him, just wait till next year. This doesn't make a lot of sense. And he was probably like, nope, I'm good with this. This is what I've wanted to do. This is the number I've had all my life until I came to the Cowboys. This is what I'm doing. So he's doing it. But I will say it's because of Jalen Smith. If it was a different player, I don't know. I don't think that it would be as big of a deal. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, a couple of things are at play here. You know, not only is it Jalen Smith, but it is a number of an iconic player in this franchise. And so the fans, you know, I went through the Cowboys Instagram just to see kind of what the reaction was from the Cowboys Nation. And they posted a picture of just Jalen and it said number 9 and just with Jalen wearing the jersey. And the comments was just like, I can't believe that they let this happen. And that was sort of my first reaction, to be quite honest with you. You know, when I worked there, the number was off limits, you know, straight up. There's a few that were off limits, you know, 82, 22, 12, 74.
Okay. Nine and those other four, are they eight. In the same category as 9?
No, they're not. They're in the same, I don't know.
Same what?
Pantheon of what the Cowboys considered retirable at the time.
At the time, that's only because it was fresh, because Tony had just retired. There's no question that 9 isn't in the same level as those.
Nine will be retired at some point.
I mean, right? it can't be, because they haven't retired any other numbers. It will not be.
Well, I mean, it'll be in the...
It'll be worn again by like a... 9 will be worn by a Cowboys quarterback in probably the next 10 or 15 years.
Well, it doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, there's so much at play here, and it's
maybe a few longer things. Than 15 years.
It's a few things, like I said. What happened here was, it's
actually,
so
you know what? It probably won't be worn by a quarterback, because here's what's going to happen is that because of the way that the league has changed this rules, there's going to be so many guys, like the top numbers that guys are going to, if you follow college football, like college football is littered with defensive tackles wearing single digits, and it's been like that for like a decade. So that's what's going to happen. Like everything 1 through 9 are going to be, every team, like unless that jersey number is retired, it's going to be used by a player. And what Tony Romo accomplished with the Cowboys is probably enough to get them in the Ring of Honor, but it's not enough for them to retire the jersey. I mean, for the Cowboys, you're going to have, like, he'd have to be the all-time leading passer in NFL history or a Super Bowl champion, something on that level. But 9 will be continued to be worn by well after Jalen Smith by other players. I mean, you got to retire 74, 12, 22, and 8 before you even get to 9.
Yeah.
Is 9 even?
Yeah, they haven't officially retired any of them, but right. Nobody's worn.
Nine wouldn't be even on there higher than
the only other one that's retired is 88, but you have to have Jerry's personal. It's the same thing. So speaking of Jerry, so what happens?
I mean, 33 shouldn't be worn.
Yeah. There are some that they honestly, John,
54 shouldn't be worn.
No, John, yeah, literally,
that's the thing, is Randy
there are
White.
Some ones that they try that they, you know, this that they give out. And then as soon as the number is back, like 74, they always have a guy, and then as soon as they can get rid of somebody wearing 74, they try to do that. So it's like a situation where we don't want to do this, but we will, because
only
it's
with those four numbers, though.
Right. And so, you know, what happened here with, just let's just imagine the situation, Jerry and Jalen, right? Jerry and Jalen. Jalen calls Jerry. Hey, Jerry, really thinking about wanting to be number 9 because, you know, obviously, I was at Notre Dame, wanted to be that coming in, but Tony was here or just left and the rules were different, but I want to do that. Well, Jalen, I can see why you'd want to do that. You know, obviously the rules allow that, but you know what? You're going to have to ask Tony. Okay.
I've been a part of too many Jalen Smith interviews to know that everything you've said up to this point, I believe is accurate. But you can't go any farther without somewhere in there mentioning that I am the quarterback of the defense.
I have a clearer eye view. Oh.
I'm the quarterback of the defense. He loves saying that. So that fits in perfect.
Yes. That was for sure. He for sure told Jerry, since I'm the quarterback of the defense, I want to wear number 9 and preserve the legacy of Tones Romes. And so he said, yeah, call Tony. And then Tony gets a call out of nowhere, probably on the golf course, from Jalen Smith. The hell? Something must be wrong. Why is Jalen calling me? Hello? Hey, Jalen. Hey, Tony, it's Jalen. Oh, yeah. Hey, man, what's up? Hey, man. So really kind of want to wear number 9.
Hello?
I guess that's cool, man. Yeah, go for it, man. All right, cool. Thanks, Tony. Bye. Tony hangs up. What the F, Jerry? Why did Jerry ever let it get to the point where Tony Romo had to be the one to allow him to wear the number? And it becomes a stupid talking point for fans when this becomes like a permission to be the quarterback of the defense. It's a freaking number.
I don't think Tony even talked to him, because he said that,
no way.
Quote, he said it, quote, me and Tony are working on conversations right now. He's a busy guy, end quote. That doesn't sound like somebody that's done anything other than maybe send out a text that was left on read, you know?
Oh, wow. Okay. And one other thing, KT, this is my last thing on it. Let's not act like the entire reason this is a thing is because Micah Parsons came into town and he's going to be rocking number 11, and Jalen Smith was not going to have some young stud rocking a low number, taking up all his hype and doing all his swipes this year. So he had to take some of that hype back, so to speak, and bring himself back into that mindset. So
I do believe that he did tweet out something, or he did say, make something known on social media before the draft that he wanted 9 when that ruling came down from the NFL. Because I remember that's when it kind of started becoming a thing where Cowboys fans were like, there's no way. Anyway, one other thing I wanted to add on this real quick, for both you guys. If I'm Tony Romo, like, and Jalen Smith called me, like, I don't know, I wouldn't really care. Like, it's not like anybody's going to, like, I don't think it affects, like, your legacy or anything you did with the Cowboys. Like, people are still going to buy number 9 Romo jerseys and stuff like that. No one's going to ever, like, they're not going to forget what you've done. Like, for me, like, I feel like, and I feel like he would be this way too, is that he's far enough removed from the game. He's obviously was a successful NFL player. He's a successful, you know, broadcaster now. Like, I would think he would have moved on from that to where, you know, I don't know. I find it hard to believe. I've always thought about that with the number conversation that people talk about. It's just how awkward it would be to be like, nah, you can't wear that. Like, you know, especially when they talk about like retired numbers with teams and that like the person has passed away. And then so you have to ask the family.
So
like,
yes, exactly. No, you know, Tony was always going to say yes. So why did right. Jerry throw it on Tony to do it? It's just very weird. And the only thing I'll say, and I agree, it's stupid. It's a freaking jersey number. Okay. It has nothing to do with how this guy plays on the field or whatever.
If guys are willing to pay the money that they're willing to pay.
It's stupid to argue about it, but it is a talking point.
Yeah. It matters to them.
It certainly matters to them, but you know, at the same time, it's like Tony deserves kind of the respect that people are trying to give him here because people remember sucking for so long until Tony was the quarterback. Okay. And so if like there's anyone in the past 20 years, it's probably like Witten and Romo in terms of like fans. These are the guys that took us out of the dark ages, you know, and maybe Bill Parcells, if you could retire him, but, or whatever. So that's kind of, I understand the frustration from the fan base's perspective there, but you know, I'm kind of with you. It's a freaking jersey number. And he's got bigger things to worry about. Let's just say that.
Yeah, no. And there's the whole thing. Like, I only have a problem with these types of things if there's one guy in your franchise that you're, you know, encroaching on. If it's Dirk, okay, not a discussion. If it's Mike Modano at the Stars, not a discussion. Well, those guys who are the face of the franchise, Tony's not a top 10 Dallas Cowboy of all time. Like, so to me, and you have this whole thing of this organization that doesn't retire jerseys, they just do the whole Ring of Honor thing. To me, whatever. And I doubt Tony cares. In fact, I would be willing to bet.
I think he might care if he retired and then Dak was like, I want number 9.
If Dak did it, yeah. No, that's
an issue. Or like they drafted a guy and they immediately gave him 9 or something like that. That would be kind of a slap in the face.
Like last week, I was begging Phil on Sunday, Phil Mickelson, to wear Tigers Nike red on Sunday, you know? Yeah. I thought that would have been pretty badass.
That would have been amazing.
KT, would you have an issue with Luka wanting to wear 41?
Yeah, I think it's kind of messed up. Yeah. Okay. Dirk's the one. He's the only one.
Fair.
You know?
And I don't think anybody's going to want to wear 77 or 41 anyway, so I think they're good.
And 77 kind of looks terrible.
It looks awful. Every time you see 77, you're going to think of Luka or Tyron Smith. You know.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I wonder what number Nate Tice would be. Or what number? So what number were you in
college? What number were you at Wisconsin?
Let's look this up here now.
I was 12. Nate. I wore That's the Dirty Dozen.
Ah, Staubach. So if you were a Dallas Cowboy and you took Staubach's number, would that cause a stink in Cowboysville? I bet it would.
Probably would. Probably would. I mean, that's the captain, right?
That's the captain.
Captain America, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty – I know. And actually, why I wore 12 was – well, honestly, it was because when I moved up to varsity as a freshman, they had 19 and 12, and no way I was wearing 19 as a quarterback. So – but honestly, how I spun it is that was my dad's favorite player growing up was Joe Namath. So it was so pretty easy, but that's how I always turned out. I was like, oh yeah, it's because of Joe Namath.
Yeah. Big A&M fan growing up. That's what it was.
So, yeah, 12 looked good though. Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, welcome in Nate. Of course, bringing him in from the Athletic Football Show, and KT. You listened to the episode that he was on the football draft. It was good times. Let's set the stage there.
Yeah, no, I love the tension. As you and Lindsay and Robert were drafting these quarterbacks, and we talked a little bit earlier in this episode about the criteria that you guys were working with. And then, of course, Lindsay goes Patrick Mahomes to kind of end that suspense. And then you're up with the number two pick in the draft, and I'm sitting here kind of walking through it. You know, 5 years. You know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have 5 years left. Okay, well, maybe Russell Wilson, maybe he could go there. Would he jump on the Trevor Lawrence train without seeing him play one NFL game? What is Nate going to do? And you drop the hammer with confidence, sir. Dak Prescott, your quarterback. And I just want to say, great job. I like it. I like what you did there.
It got me the golden ticket on this show. It was perfect. That was the whole point. So we're good. No, I was ready too, because I knew there would be some, I would say pushback, but maybe some kind of like, oh, really? Like, is that, that's what you're going with? And I watched even a couple more games later last week, just going like, am I crazy? Was that just like, you know, maybe a beer talking when I was watching film? And I was like, but then I watched him again and it was like, no, I mean, he's the real deal, man. I think what has happened with Dak is we all have this mental image that he's his Mississippi State days and he's been carried by the O-line and he said Zeke to tote the rock all the time. It's like, yeah, but they're winning a lot of games. They were competing a lot of games because that freaking quarterback they have wearing number four is really, really good. And just because he does everything well, and not a lot of guys do that. And that's what elite is that you don't have a weakness. And it's like, so when you get a guy and it's not traits. A lot of these guys, it's arm strength or they're talented. They have good legs. They have a couple of traits that they lean on. It's like Dak can lean on anything. He can win from the pocket. He can ad lib plays. He can actually legit run every QB run concept because he's so big and tough and athletic. But then also he's just cerebral. And I think that's the thing that people don't realize with Dak is how smart he is. Like unbelievably smart. Like I said on the show was, it's him and the old guys like that. I mean, as far as mental acumen, like just before the snap, him and Travis Frederick would just talk and like full blown conversations as stuff's going on. And it's just, you don't see quarterbacks do that because they're getting on the same page. Having Travis probably helped a lot early on. Travis, I played with Travis in college and he's one of the smartest human beings, not just football players, but smartest human beings I've ever been around. And he had shed a light to me too. They said Dak was just as good. Dak was put some of that too. So they let us do with a lot. And I just love Dak. I could just keep going and going.
Who was that? Who else was in consideration there for you?
Russ and, you know, Russ, of course. Really the three actually kind of mentioned was Rodgers, Russ, Lawrence, Herbert, kind of. But I mean, I thought it was pretty easy for me to just go Mahomes and the Dak. I mean, that's how I look at it anyways. That's why I was trying to also say to Robert a little bit too, was that I don't care about the contract, is because you can't pay an elite quarterback enough money. You can't. Like, these guys make the team. And if you have an elite guy, what everybody in all sports knows, an elite quarterback is the best position you can have. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not a power pitcher. It's not a two-way wing in basketball. It's no, it's a freaking elite quarterback. And so that's why you can't pay these guys enough money. But that's so really, it was him alone.
Oh. I think, you know, just on that note with Russell Wilson, you know, working with you guys and producing you and Robert after games throughout the season, it was a constant point of emphasis about what Russell Wilson was doing at the quarterback position and what he was able to do and just his overall ability and mental awareness and ability, you know, fundamentally to achieve what he does at the position. And so it took me by surprise when you took Dak Prescott. So what was it in your mind? You said the contract had nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. So for somebody like you, Nate, and again, this is Nate Tice, you know, son of one of my favorite NFL personalities of all time, Mike Tice, but also, you know, former quarterback for Wisconsin who played with Russell Wilson. For somebody like you who knows Russell Wilson more than anybody to take Dak over him, you know everything there is to know about Russell Wilson, film and personality and in the locker room, everything. And you still took Dak. Why is that?
Yeah, and I've already gushed about Dak, so I could say that. But with Russ, it's just that his limitations cropped up again with another play caller. And with Russ is we bash the Seahawks, and they can be a little basic as far as offensively, and that's what Pete Carroll emphasizes. But some of that is because that's what Russ is good at. Is he's good at play action stuff. He's good at movement stuff, and he needs a run game to carry him because his game is not built off dropping back 20 plus times a game. It just isn't. And he can do it. Don't get me wrong. It's like he can do it, but it's not the best way for him to win. So I think okay. There's some games where he goes against, you know, the Patriots last year that's when he was in fuego and just like, no, I mean, he looked unstoppable. He had more touchdowns than incompletions, I think, going through October. It's just that as soon as the bye week happens and everybody adjusts, it's just, there was no adjustment to the adjustment. And that it was like, oh, there's the rust. There's the negatives that I've seen year in, year out. Even when I was with him in college, he's very smart. Don't get me wrong. But how he plays is if he doesn't see what he thinks pre-snap happens post-snap, that's when Russ does his rust stuffs. So he gets away with it. Don't get me wrong. But it's, I would prefer to have Dak who can be win in the pocket every single time, even when stuff, he can do more stuff post-snap as far as mentally. With Russ too, is, you know, the age group, you know, as far as just, you know, he relies a lot on his athleticism. I do want to say again, Russ is a very smart guy, but he does rely on arm strength and athleticism and making those incredible deep ball throws and throws on the move. That stuff's going to go away as he gets a little bit older. So I think that too, I think that's the thing that's underrated about Dak is he's entering the smack dab of his prime right now too. And that was another point of emphasis I want to reiterate with it is that's why I lean Dak is just age, what he can do, just everything. He's the five tool player at quarterback. And I just love that. And with Russ, he does have those limitations. He has some short game stuff that he has struggled with since college. He prefers his reads to be mirrored if he does drop back, which when I say that is, it's the same concept on either side. And he has to pick one and then that's it. He likes to pick it. And if it's not there, then Russ does Russ magic. But I don't really prefer that. So maybe that's maybe a little bit too, as I prefer more, maybe that more traditional side that Dak brings.
How much did you factor in the injury he had? I mean, we got a chance to see their first OTA practice with him yesterday. And the best way I can describe it is that if you didn't know he had suffered that injury, like somehow you didn't watch football this past year, you never would have known it watching him yesterday. Like he didn't, like wasn't favoring the ankle at all, never limping. I mean, he looked great, and he is obviously a phenomenal like hard worker. But was there ever any concern in there? Did you ever factor that in? Just because of how gruesome the injury was.
Yeah, I mean the fact that the injury was so nasty, I think is what everyone remembers. But maybe the recovery isn't as bad. It's almost like someone say like you broke your arm and the bone's coming through, and you're just like, oh my god, that's brutal. But then a guy just pops his MCL. The MCL takes a lot longer than the broken arm, but and it heals just as quickly, you know, it heals perfect. I think the short answer is no. Injury doesn't really faze me as much because the only really injuries now that really I'm concerned about in the modern times, because I think ACLs even, I know that Dak didn't have an ACL, but I think ACLs even have become, it takes about a year, maybe 14 to 15 months to get 100%, but 9 months, it's really like where you're playable. And I think just modern medicine and the rehab process has gotten so much better. So really the injuries I only really worry about is Achilles, because that's just like, that's when you see guys, their athletic ability just gets sapped. I think it's just so hard to be explosive after those types of injuries. And if someone shreds their knee completely, when you get the combo, the ACL, MCL with cartilage, those are the ones I'm like, ooh. So when you get what Dak had with the compound fracture and all that, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, it's a tough healing process, but I trust Dak. And also when I speak to his athleticism too, is he's not like Lamar, where Lamar is quick twitch and relies on that true explosiveness. Dak is more of that smooth athlete. So I that's why I don't think that, yeah, he's going to probably lose 5 to 10% of his athleticism, but it's, I don't think it's, that's not how he wins all the time. It's just something he can do.
I've actually become pretty good friends with Travis Frederick over the years. So I sent him a text just to see if he's getting dirt on you. So we'll see if that happens before you take off.
Trav might be too sweet of a guy. So hopefully
he's the best.
He's the best. He really is. He's one of my favorite people in the world. He really is. So he would have some stuff though. So I'm wondering how nice he's going to be.
No, we know he has dirt on you. We just don't know whether he's going to text KT back enough soon enough. So
that's the thing. How fast will he text me back? I don't know. Last time I talked to him, we ended up in a big fight. No, just kidding. He's the best. He really is the best. So you know, one thing was funny because, you know, Robert, I think, I'm not sure if Robert on the podcast truly felt this or he felt the need to kind of go at you a little bit for that pick, but he was basically saying Dak's making Patrick Mahomes money, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. And the thing that I would say about Dak that we got cheated out of last season because of the injury.
Yeah.
We've had an inconsistent offensive line the last few years because of, you know, Travis retiring and the year Travis missed and Tyron's injuries, and Cowboys fans know what all happened. But the thing that I see is two things. You see his accuracy improve over time a little bit. Mm-hmm. His reads and progressions, you saw that improve over time. And then another thing, I think his feel in the pocket is something that you could kind of see improve. Yeah. And there were questions in this market, believe it or not, about who should pay him. And I hate to mention golf again on this podcast, but like, you know, the new Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka meme going around.
Yeah.
Well, Bryson DeChambeau walking by saying that Andy Dalton could do this behind that offensive line or whatever. Well, give me the Brooks Koepka rolling my eyes face at that. And I think we learned pretty quickly that it's just not the same.
No.
And it took Dak getting hurt for people to realize, oh my God, it shouldn't have taken that long, but it took that long. So I don't even, like, if I don't even know, like, when we start talking about like a weakness for Dak, I almost struggle to find it because he's kind of become good at everything.
Yep.
And I really don't know, like, I can't even like, he's not like elite in one singular area. I don't know what he's bad at anymore.
Yeah. And I think that's so fair. When I would say when Dak came, you know, first into the league or whatever, so maybe the shorter kind of timing things, you know, I thought like he was off on, like he would throw behind guys because he was just, it's almost like he just had to speed up his feet a little bit. But I completely agree with you. I would say in these last 2 years or whatever you want to call it, a year and a half, because he only played six games, but it's, I mean, that's like you said, there's not a concern at all. I was watching the game against the Seahawks and just his pocket movement was just, oh my God. It was just, it's just stuff you teach. It's teaching tape. Like that is literally what it is. It's because he's keeping his eyes downfield. He feels stuff. He does stuff pre-snap. It's just all these, I mean, it all just adds up. And that's what the difference between good and great is some, the good players do it, you know, 7 out of 10 times, 6 out of 10 times. They do it, you know, and they have a couple misses. They may miss a throw, some protection stuff. They mess up or they're late on a throw and it gets incomplete. No one notices it. They're just like, oh, that was a good play by the defense. But if you watch it, you realize the quarterback was late or something like that. Dak's turning into a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 guy. And I know what you were saying with Robert, like pushing back. Yeah. And I'm hoping that he was just saying it for content's sake. But I'll go back to what I said originally is that you can't pay these elite guys enough money. And Dak's elite. I mean, he is. Any way you shake it, I think he is. Because it's just like you said, there's no weaknesses. When these guys are in the playoffs especially, and I'll make another basketball comparison. When they're in the playoffs, sometimes, yeah, you can have a great scheme. This is why I sometimes made these outside zone heavy schemes, like the Shanahan Kubiak tree guys, when they have these quarterbacks that have training wheels on, you know, stuff falls apart when in the playoffs, especially because that stuff is so heavily game planned, even more so than the season, that, and you have a whole year's of tape, film on film. But it's a guy like Dak is sometimes those guys just have to go get a bucket. They have to just go make a play, and Dak can do that. And so it's like, oh, sweet. So you can do the cerebral stuff on third down. You can do all the efficient stuff, the short throws, the bubble throws, the, if you do want to run RPOs, you don't need to do it with Dak and that run game. You don't really need to do it, but he can do it. Play action. His eyes are great. He stands strong and strong in the pocket, so he can deliver throws downfield. He throws the timing stuff, and he has touch throw intermediate stuff. And then he does the accuracy to throw the short stuff. And then he can create. And then also he can lead, and he's tough. So it's like, that's an elite guy. I don't know. If you just close your eyes and I describe that person to you, you'd be like, yeah, that guy's probably a good player. But I get what you mean. I think with Dak sometimes too is that you, like a Lamar or Mahomes or even a Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers, guys, people close their eyes and they picture those, what those plays are, like they're winning plays. And I think with Dak is just that he's so smooth and does everything so well that it's just kind of like, I think that's where people have issues with it. They just go, well, it's just Dak. And it's like, yeah. And then they're like, oh, okay. But then no one has that mental image that he does, that almost like iconic Dak thing. But that's because he just does everything so well that nothing else stands out.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the notion for so long, I guess, since, you know, Zeke came in the same class as him and they've kind of been tied at the hip. What do you think about the notion that Dak needs a really good running game to be a good quarterback and needs that, you know, that play action, part of the game? Because I guess that was a concern coming out of the injury, was that, you know, his ability to be a threat in the run game would be limited because of the injury.
Yeah, and I could see some of that QB run game, maybe even the coaches kind of going like, hey, we're only going to have like two as opposed to maybe five or six in the game. I don't think Dak needs the run game behind him. I'm sure he benefits from a good O-line like every quarterback does. But I would say the run game is not needed because he can, that play action is a good point. Because he can do the play action stuff very well, but he can also drop back. So that's the thing, is he doesn't need those training wheels, that type of day one, day two, day three offense that gets installed. He can do the day seven, day eight, day nine, day 10 stuff easily. It's not like he's guessing on plays. Yeah. So that's why maybe early on, like most young quarterbacks, a running game does help because then they don't have to drop back every single time. But Dak, I think, can handle the dropping in the back 20 plus times a game. You don't want to do it, but I think he can make the most of it. And that's another thing too, is some of that drop back stuff is so many of these routes, the Kellen Moore stuff, it really is Linehan just with a few more motions. And why I know that, Scott Linehan was my dad's offense coordinator in Minnesota, and I just know it. Like, I just know the offense. Like, it's just like, oh, I recognize that. And Kellen's kind of done the exact same, just maybe a couple more crossfield motions right before the snap and stuff like that. Is they still have a lot of static routes on the outside and like stop routes. And DBs have gotten a lot better, and coaching has gotten a lot better, where you need guys on the move a little bit more. And the thing is, we don't realize that's such a negative with that offense, is because Dak makes it work. And that's a top tier guy. He's scheme proof. And that's the highest compliment I can give a guy. As Kent's probably heard me say a million times, that you don't have to squint and you're scheme proof. So that's something like, no matter what you put around him, he's going to excel in. Just Dak gushing. This is awesome. I love it. I feel like I'm amongst friends here. This is great.
No, definitely. Look, and there's still probably, I don't know what percent. There is a percentage of Cowboys fans who are still like, what? Why?
Still not convinced. And,
they did that to Romo, though. They did that to Romo. And that's, some people are like never happy, though, too. It's just realize, hey, we're going to be okay. Yep. Now, and all that stuff you're talking about, like, Dak might have needed that in 2016.
Yeah.
In 2017, I think we can kind of get by. And now I was a big proponent of the Cowboys taking an offensive lineman. I did want that because I just think, where Tyron is not good at this point in his career. It's just he misses games each year. Those are the facts.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
So, like, when they took Micah Parsons and Rashawn Slater was there, I was like, man, Rashawn Slater's there because he's whatever. If it's guard or if you got to play him attack, whatever. that's fine. And that would be great for Dak. And then you start, you know, thinking about, okay, fix the defense. I'm still conflicted. To this day, I'd tell you I would take Rashawn Slater, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Micah Parsons was, you know, defensive rookie of the year or something. What would you have done if you were, gun to your head, you know, pick 12 for the Cowboys, Parsons or Rashawn Slater?
I think I had the same plan they did at pick 12, was wait for a corner. But we all know what happened there. But I always go O-line early because that's just my own personal philosophy is I'm always premium positions, especially in the lottery. Quarterback, obviously one, but then I usually go O-line or D-line or pass rusher. I go O-line, D-line, corner. And if you don't get one of those four, you trade back. And that's, again, you also have two detangled on trade. I get that's just in a perfect world. And then, yeah, but then you get to then the next step, like that next tier is pass catcher, three down linebacker, not just off ball linebacker or anything. A three down, play all threes downs, or a true two way safety. Those are the next tier of valuable. And that you can justify that when you get past pick 20, because obviously those premium guys are going to be there. I would have gone O-line. That's just what I believe in. And what you brought up with Slater, is he a guard, is he a tackle? It would have been perfect for the Cowboys because you get the injuries all the time. So at least he can play both. So wherever you need him to cover up, we're good there. So that would have probably made sense. I also want to say too, is another thing when I was watching Cowboys film, I just meant to bring this up. I don't know if I get to say it, is Dak has great chemistry with CeeDee Lamb. And that's going to be something very fun to watch. And especially how I have to compliment, I just kind of dogged him a little bit, but I do have to compliment Kellen Moore, what he does a lot of times. CeeDee is really good operating from inside. He just has that great feel on those over routes and benders and everything. And Kellen would put him in number three and number two, you know, tight end spot basically, and motion him across and put the tight end at number two spot. By the way, Cowboys have, they're going to Blake Jarwin back. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But it's, put him at the number three spot, and like Dak gets a little tell, a little coverage tell, because he's so smart, that helps. But man, they just have a great chemistry. Like CeeDee knows how to throttle down and Dak knows how to hit him. And it's like, that was one of the most fun things to watch for me. And you know, you got Coop and Gallup and all that, but it's like, that's, they got something there. And sometimes you just need a guy that you trust every single down. And I think already trusts him. So I'm excited to watch that kind of match, that pairing in year two with CeeDee there. Just gushing the Cowboys. It's so weird for me. I was a Vikings fan, man, growing up. It was like, this is like just evil for me, but it's great. I'm a mercenary now. So this is great. I could just talk about fun players. That's the best part of the job.
Well, since you've been diving into the Cowboys tape, we would be remiss if we didn't ask you about a topic that came up earlier in the show of Jalen Smith and kind of what you've seen from him on tape. I guess there was a famous quote coming out of the season where he was asked, like, you know, are you going to be here long term? And he said, watch the tape, bro. You know, I think that speaks for itself. And then people did. And all these GIFs on Twitter started going out of some really, really terrible Jalen Smith stuff. So what did you see through the season? Did Jalen Smith stick out to you, good or bad?
He's so up and down sometimes. It's really, it depends on the game. What I saw with Jalen that has helped him more than anything is they took the green dot away from him, in the sense that he's the headset guy to give the play calls to everybody else. They gave it to him when injuries happened. And I think you could really see his play get affected when Jalen just has to worry about Jalen. He's so much better. And he just has to worry about his world. I think when he had to communicate, I think too much was getting put into his head. And I just think when he was the play caller, so the green dot, I don't know if anyone knows, quarterback always has it on offense, so you never have to worry about that.
Quarterback of the defense.
Yeah. So the defense, and what actually is happening now is that more safeties are getting it, but that's a whole nother conversation. But usually you have the Mike linebacker will have the green dot on. That's who the defensive coordinator can communicate their play calls into. And I would see when Jalen had that, I could see him struggling a little bit because he's lining us, everybody else up, and you could tell he's thinking as opposed to just naturally doing it. When he didn't have that visual awareness to kind of go like, oh no, that doesn't look right, he should go over there. You could see him kind of like going, like remembering his notes from the week, kind of going a little bit. So I think less is more for Jalen a little bit. He's got the knee stuff, and that's all. It's just, he's going to have bad weeks. I think it's really, he's like almost a guy that like would benefit from like sitting out one game, just cut, like having his own personal bye week, just so he can get like rehab a little bit. Like, cause that's what he is. It's like when he's healthy, he's top notch. Or I shouldn't say top notch, but he's good. He's good. Good.
Yeah.
And like legitimately good, but it's just, it's inconsistent. And it's like you said, when Tyron Smith, when he's not on the field, it's hard to count on him. And I just think less is going to be more for him. If he just has less responsibility, he can just try and fly around. That'll help for better or for worse.
I'm just picturing like it being like the NBA where like, hey, guys, Jalen's not going today. This is a load management game. He'll play next week.
Oh, my right? gosh.
I mean, they did added another game.
17 games now. So,
hey, I don't know what the fans would necessarily argue with that strategy, honestly, if they heard that happen. But what else on tape, Nate, stuck out to you with the Cowboys? Maybe biggest need you saw, biggest hole that they could address, maybe something with McCarthy? what do you think about that?
I don't really see much McCarthy's fingerprints on the offense as much as I thought I would, which is kind of surprised me a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think that offense is just unbelievably loaded, if I'm being dead serious, and I'm not just saying that because I'm on a Cowboys podcast. I really do think they got two legit tight ends, and that's like the seventh most important part of their offense. seriously, I think CeeDee Lamb's a stud. Coop's Coop. Gallup is a nice role player, super role player. Zeke is fading a little bit. I do think that he's come and go, but I think Tony Pollard's going to really step up. I actually did like Brandon Knox as their undrafted free agent. He can't run out of his own shadow, but he's got good vision. So who knows if he has NFL speed, but he might hit. Defensively, of course, is going to be the big question mark. Can they cover anybody on the outside, especially? They took some home run swings in the draft. I do think Parsons is going to be a dynamic player. I do that kind of defense. If Dan Quinn is going to run what I think he's going to run, that puts a lot on those interior guys. It's an inside. We think of the Legion of Boom days. It's the corner and Cam Chancellor and everything, but really it's Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas. The spine of the defense is what made that defense. It puts a lot of strain on those guys to be right all the time. So I think getting a guy like as talented as Parsons is going to really help. There might be a little bit of a learning curve. He might take some licks early on because he has to read a lot. You have to be come and go. Just think of like Urlacher in a cover two Tampa two defense or any of those guys. Sean Lee when he was in what's his face was here. Rod Marinelli was here. They have to be two way players, and that puts a lot on them mentally and physically. But I think he is a guy that can do it. It just might take a little bit. He might take some lumps early. I'm excited to see Randy Gregory play a little bit more. He only played like 25% of the snaps last year, and I picked up his stats. He had 12 QB hits playing 25% of their snaps. I mean, come on. So that's pretty nice. It's an obvious question marks. Can they cover anybody? I think that's just what it's going to be. It might be a lot of shootouts this year.
Randy Gregory's been good. Like anytime he's been on the field in the NFL, he's been good. It's just, he's just not on the field very often.
Not on the field.
And that's a whole other topic. And that's for another day. Yeah. I am interested about Kelvin Joseph. He was their second round pick. And I'm just kind of, like, I don't have 100% confidence that they're just going to go, you're my starting cornerback. That's going to be a job that's earned. And they love Nishon Wright from Oregon State. And I don't know how much you know about Nishon Wright.
I know, but he was tall, a guy that, tall and long.
Tall and long. And that's what they were going for. But, like, I can see them pushing Nishon Wright into a starting role if there's any slip up from Kelvin Joseph early on. I mean, I would not be surprised at all because he's everything that they want.
Yeah,
it seems like
corners are like pitchers, man. It's like you just got to take a bunch of them and hope a couple hit. Like it's tough to find corners. It really is. It's a tough, tough position, especially to play early on. Like that's why. I mean, you can think in the last 15 years, there's been like two impact corners as rookies. I mean, it's a hard position. I'm curious what the hell they do with Keanu Neal. Like I have no idea. I'm trying to figure out. Like I know they're saying they're putting him inside. I love Keanu as a player. I think he can help. He can help somehow. I'm curious how he is going to slot in though. That's another guy. And yeah, they just got to get healthy and just shore up front. And I know it's interesting what you said with the corners though, because it's like, it's funny when they took the kid from Oregon State, because it's just like, of course they did. Who else would take, who else is running a traditional Seahawks defense anymore? And like, that's all they're doing. They're finding that arm length and they're just going to tab those guys. Those guys are going to be at top of the board no matter what.
We were sitting there ruling out all these names. We're just like, not going to take him. Not going to take him. Yep. Not going to take him. But Nishon Wright is one that snuck up on pretty much all of us.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's no one was going, what? I mean, everyone was like hustling to go watch Oregon State film the next day to like, Okay, let's find out. Dane Brugler's got him as like his 35th cornerback. So, like, you know, Cowboy, that poor kid is like, that poor kid, like everyone on draft night, because he was so low on Dane's rankings, yeah. Everyone is kind of going off that because not many people had seen him.
Yeah.
That poor kid's coming in with a huge backpack on his shoulders. I'm like, come on, buddy. I hope it really works out for him because no one was giving him a chance. Until they like, it's like, okay, no one can comment on him until we watch him yet. We all agreed we got to be nice here.
And that's the thing, too. It's a third rounder. It's like, that's the thing. It's not like they took him with an 18th overall pick. And then they're just like, oh my God, we're relying on this huge project that I've seen a couple teams take some corners early. And I'm like, holy crap. I was with the Falcons when we took Jalen Collins in the second round. That guy could barely play football at the time. And it was like, and he ended up having a decent year, his second or third year. I want to say his second year. But he kind of fell off a cliff after that. But it's like, that's what these guys are going to do when they run this type of defense. They're going to take some of these shots and hope one of them hits. And who knows? Yeah, that's the thing. You don't know. You don't know how much coaching was he getting at Oregon State. You know, you don't know those types of things too. So I don't want to talk to coaches at Oregon State. One of my friends is there, but but you just don't know. Some of these guys, they just all of a sudden get in the NFL and it just clicks. It just, the space, the timing to play. They're not running 110 ball plays they have to cover. It's 62 plays. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it just makes more sense for guys once they hit the NFL. They're like, oh, I get to huddle every play. Oh, that's nice. You know, I get to catch my breath, and it's not Oregon Chip Kelly's not there anymore, but just this team just fastballing every single play. So it's like, I don't know. Some of these guys ascend when they get to the next level. So that's why it's like, screw it. It's a height, weight, speed bet. Sometimes those chips work.
We'll get you out of here on this, Nate. We had our little schedule predictions episode last week. What do you see the Cowboys doing this year in the NFC? You know, I know you like the Rams a lot, so mm-hmm. I know they might be your Super Bowl pick. I don't know that officially, but what do you think the Cowboys are going to do this year?
Oh, I viable contender for a playoff spot. I think they're have to be co-favorites for NFC East. I mean, who else is going to take that mantle? I mean, it's Washington's defense you have to worry about, but then that's going to be a hilarious matchup with the Cowboys and Washington. It's going to be a movable op, with Washington's offense versus Cowboys defense. That one's going to be hilarious. I think the Eagles are totally way out of it. And then I think the Giants are, you know, they have some fun pieces, but they're betting on Daniel Jones, which is like, he better ascend this year for any of that to hit. I know. I thought he was going to take a little leap last year and he just kind of stagnated, which, you know, I'm sure you guys want to take a shot at Jason Garrett there, but then as far as NFC wise, I think no matter what, they're going to be contending for one of that, either the title or the MCE's title or one of those, you know, seven spots now for the playoffs. So it's like, I think they are a viable playoff team just because their offense is so damn good. And I just think that's what's going to carry them, as we all know. But I think that's how good the offense is that the defense can take some lumps early on. They can stay in a lot of games, even with the defense giving up 30 plus points.
There it is.
Not 12 the favorite.
Can you give us 12 and 5?
I'd say 11 and 6.
Okay. None of us were bold enough to go 12 and 5 either. That was the 11 and 6 was the.
I guess still get used to those records. I guess still used to those, like, saying
that's
those
terrible
records.
I don't like it.
10 and 7 sounds awful. Whenever I say 10 and 7, yeah. I'm like, ew. Yeah,
it is.
Was it first month of baseball?
That's it's what like that. An odd number at the end. Ugh.
Yeah, no, hate it.
We don't need it.
Yeah, well, in December, we'll love it when we get a 17th game. I mean, we'll like it then.
Yeah, it'll be fun then. Yeah, who cares, right? Yeah,
well, Nate, we're going to need you back on, but Robert just put out a What the Hell Are the Cowboys article today. So we'll have a Robert on here next week to continue this fun Athletic Football Show, special edition of the About Them Cowboys podcast, some crossover content here. But man, this has been great. Thanks for coming on, Nate.
No, thanks for having me, guys. This was awesome. I know it's fun. It's fun just talking to Kent now in this capacity. It's like,
it's like, good. This is the, you know, as you know, I, you know, working for the team, this is the one show that I, you know, get to maybe chime in a little bit because of, you know, awesome. My background. So, that's great. That's been great. But, we'll have you back on here maybe before the season starts or something. We'll see who the hell knows what's going to happen to the Cowboys, but we'll figure it out.
Who knows? I love it. But thanks, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks, Nate. Appreciate it, man. All right, let's end the damn thing. Here's my closing thoughts. No one get too worked up over, you know, jersey numbers. You know, it's just, hey, it's a, hey, we're progressing, right? And make sure that you keep reading The Athletic. John's got a piece with some OTA observations. Make sure you go check that out. My goodness, the Mavericks are in the playoffs, and they're doing really well.
Got a Mavs pod popping. Go listen to Tim and Mike Pelucci and Dave DeFore over on our Mavs pod, 77 minutes. They're doing a great job, so follow along.
Yeah, so we got a lot going on there. Rangers doing stuff. Sada might be with us next time. We'll see. But well, we appreciate everyone. Please tell a friend to subscribe to The Athletic. Maybe that's a gift. You know, Father's Day coming up. Maybe you want to get your dad the gift of The Athletic. So maybe that's a good thing. So for Kent Garrison, our esteemed producer, for Father John Machota, one of the Bash Brothers, I'm Kevin K.T. Turner. We'll see you next time on About Them Cowboys.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.